What's up, it's Chase Young.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Today is Friday, July 30th at 2:28 p.m. Let's just call it Terry McLaurin Day. This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast. We'll explain soon.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's Washington Football Talk Podcast with Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler. My name's J.P. Finley, and today joining us is our dear friend, Mr. Chris Kerwin.
Hi, everybody.
Photog extraordinaire. Lots to discuss. Want to start by thanking the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. Check them out online, oarsmanva.com. Now, we have an interview with Landon Collins today. I'll be honest. I opened it up by asking Landon. What I wanted to say is, how in the hell did you recover from an Achilles tear in 9 months? But I knew in our new Triopoly world, folks at Channel 4 might not like me dropping a hell in the first sentence.
Did you say heck?
I said, how in the world?
Oh.
So listen to that and know what I wanted to say versus what I said. All right?
Yeah.
Let's get down to business. We had a get together at the top of the hill today. Thank you to everybody that came. That was a lot of fun. Pete was doing push-ups. Timestamp guy was there.
Yeah.
It was great.
I'm glad you timestamped it so early in the show.
I did it on purpose.
I know you did.
That was cool. Listen, for undisclosed reasons, there is no pod party this year, but Vegas, if nothing else, I think we maybe do one in D.C. before the season kicks off. We'll figure it out. I've heard rumors and hints of an MGM trip, perhaps. So there's a lot of moving parts. All right?
Sure.
As usual, you'll be very well informed, and it'll be very well planned meticulously by this trio.
And there'll be a highly edited graphic that is put up on our Instagram that informs people of where to go.
Speaking of the Instagram, did you post that picture?
I did.
Oh, it's posted.
It's posted, and it's probably going viral.
Hot boy summer, baby. The boys had a pool party last night. Shout out to our guy Larry. Tremendous host. Sincerely appreciate it.
And Dale Dell?
Definitely Dale Dell. Are you guys going to confess to what happened?
JP murked me and then murked Mitch in the individual medley choose your own stroke race in Larry's pool. JP is a great breaststroker. I didn't see it coming, and he persevered through a calf cramp to dust both of us.
The calf cramp was special. After a full day of full night of drinking and reveling, JP was hurting, but good thing there were some jets that Pete got to enjoy a little bit, and JP used to work out the calf cramp.
And a little bit of vitamin T. A little bit of vitamin T takes care of everything.
That's a long way.
A little bit of a grapefruit juice and vitamin T.
You need vitamin C and vitamin T, and it cures scurvy while you're at it. Let's get down to business. I'm going to save – well, I guess this can't be my one thing. Got a little testy for the first time, and it happens. It's training camp, but when we all were talking about Heineke's performance in minicamp, I wrote a column about this on the website. Like, there's a huge difference between minicamp and training camp. Never gets testy at minicamp. Training camp, it's day three. It's the first day they had shells on. I think they'll have a full-blown fist fight before next week is over in Ashburn.
Yeah, we did this on – I said this to Pete on the sideline. What day do you think it happens? Let's like a baby bet it.
So they start full pads Monday.
Monday.
Now they can only do two on, one off, right?
I think correct.
So I think it's either Tuesday, 2 days in pads. What's the weather like at home next week? Hot as balls.
I'm sure it's going
to
be hot.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Weird Greg is shaking.
Might have to edit that.
No, it's fine.
I don't think edit it, please.
Okay.
Just make it hot as bleep.
Okay, sure.
Okay. I'm sure it's going to be hot. These guys are fighting for jobs. If it's not Tuesday, though, then it might not be till – so it'll be 2 days on, 1 day no pads.
Friday they're at FedEx.
Friday – they're not going to fight at FedEx.
Yeah, they're going to be with the
either fans. Tuesday or Thursday.
Kerwin, give us the weather update.
nothing above 85 degrees.
That's not that bad.
So the heat won't contribute to it, I don't think.
We should get camera on the pod for an official weather prediction for the season. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, like which city is which the city hardest to deal with?
No, like, is it going to snow when we go? What are the chances for snow in Buffalo week 3?
Or Green Bay.
That's
exactly what Mitch and I were outlining.
Well, mine made more sense than whatever you said.
I'm getting a call from Quebec, Canada.
Answer it. Answer it live. Yeah, Put it on speaker.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, my name is Kevin, and I'm calling you about your computer, okay?
You have to tell him he's being recorded.
You're being recorded on a podcast, just to let you know. And he hung up.
What was he calling from?
He's calling about my computer, and he lives in Quebec.
Is he the guy?
Totally legit.
Yeah.
Is he the guy that tried to scam you out of Bitcoin last year? 2 years ago?
Oh, I remember that.
Is a story.
Is that a camp, too?
That was at camp?
That is a story.
You had, an email thread.
That is a story that will not be told on this podcast.
All right.
Okay.
Well, next time we're on the hill.
We'll move on.
Terry McLaurin was dominant today. I'll let you explain. I know that you get excited for the receivers. Go ahead, Pete.
Yes. McLaurin was everywhere, as he's always been. They opened up one-on-ones for wide receiver DB drills, and I was doing radio, but Mitch said McLaurin was just shredding everybody. It's that drill, as JP has pointed out, is skewed towards the offense, and it's especially skewed towards really good receivers who are sharp with their routes, which is what Terry is. So not surprising to hear he did so well there. Then the highlight of the day was Fitz to McLaurin, a deep shot. McLaurin running from right to left on a long, skinny post. Perfectly thrown ball. McLaurin touchdown. And as he was standing in the end zone, he yelled back about 50 yards, "I see you, Fitz. I see you, Fitz." So they were clicking. And Terry, when he talked to us a couple days ago, says he wants to get back to being that deep threat. Last year, he had, I believe his YPC was about 12.5. It went down 3 yards compared to his rookie year. He clearly has the speed, so seeing him hit some more home runs would be very
interesting. Last year, he also had quarterbacks that didn't go downfield. So.
Yeah, and the offense was just more limited. But with Fitz here, I think we can see more of these types of highlights where it's Terry kind of like he was as a rookie streaking down the field for big-time touchdowns.
And I love when we see Terry start giving it back to the DBs.
Yeah.
Because you know how crazy the DBs go whenever they break up a pass or God forbid, get a pick. The whole damn team starts running down the field the other direction. The whole damn defense starts running down the field. The offense never gets that satisfaction because there's no exclamation point really on most of those offensive plays on 11-on-11 like that. But when Terry hits a big play and is able to yell back to Fitz and kind of give it to, I think it was Bobby McCain and whoever the other, I guess William Jackson probably.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun to see him kind of grow into that role where he's confident enough and whatever it is, mature enough that he can kind of start riling up the offense and get him moving a little bit.
Montez was certainly kind of doing that for the defense.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we saw some real chippiness with Tamarick Hemingway, and Sam Cosmi continues to get abused, and Montez just kind of stood over him. So it bugs the defense, too, that they're not allowed to hit the quarterback or really, even get close to him. It's, I don't know, I feel like it was a good practice session out there.
I think
so,
too.
It was the crispest practice session to date.
Yeah, this is always the common question when these fights kind of happen. Ron, what do you think about it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? He says, I don't really like it. You shouldn't be getting in fights. You're going to get penalized. But Sheriff had a good point. He said, for us, it's actually great. Chase Young is chattering constantly. And when he's in our heads, it's good for us to try and tune him out and deal with it. So he actually approved of it and thinks it's going to make the O-line mentally tough.
Are you surprised that Brandon Sheriff thinks a little bit of fighting is not is cool?
Like, not at all.
Kerwin, no part of it at
Kerwin,
all.
Obvious.
Kerwin might be tighter with Sheriff than any person here. Kerwin, are you surprised to hear that?
No, of course not. And I laughed because in the whole press conference, he was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And it kept filling down over his nose. Because, so it was more of a chin diaper than an actual mask. And he kept pulling it back up because he's got that big beard. But they like the physicality.
Yeah.
And so they're like, cool. But to Ron's point is like, what are you going to do in a fight? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to hurt your hand hitting someone's helmet.
Yep.
It just doesn't make sense. But the big boys are going to fight sometimes. And you just got to.
These are alpha males.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them.
Beta male.
Every one of them, when they were 18, the 88th guy on the roster, when he was 18, thought he was the best player in damn country.
Was
he
a probably, badass growing up.
Yeah. Right.
And now he's fighting to make the 7th.
He had a great pick today, by the way.
He really did. That's why he's in my head.
I actually have Luke as my one thing. You want me to just do it right now?
Real quick, before we get to that, are you going to tell Brandon that he had a chin diaper?
No.
You're going to use that word toward him.
100%.
Will you tell the world what Brandon always says to you?
About
kindergarten.
Oh, so it was 2 years. Last time we were down here, because I'm all of 5'6", maybe on my tiptoes.
Yeah, but you're jacked, just for people
that you're 5'6" both ways.
Whatever.
Side to side and top.
Anyway,
just a square.
Yeah. I learned many
moons. He's kind of a square.
Many moons ago that I got to use a step stool to get up and get on these guys' eye level. Otherwise, you get the sky behind you. So when we did Sheriff last year.
You're saying when you're holding the camera.
Yeah, when I'm shooting to get post-game and when the guys come up field. When we could do that, we can't do it this year. Anyway, so one time we rolled up the sheriff, and I put my stool down, I get up, and he looks down and he goes, I was taller than you in kindergarten. And some people, like a couple of my friends, got really upset with him, and I'm like, look, we give each other a hard time all the time. And I go, look, everybody forgive him, he's from Iowa. And everybody goes, oh, okay.
Yeah, current
like
the Wisconsin
and Iowa beef.
Yeah, that's why they're tight.
Yeah.
It's a good dynamic.
So, I don't know where the hell we're going after
Cole
that.
Luke, one thing.
Do you want me to skip now?
Which is a weird sentence to say.
I want to do this. Let's talk about this COVID. Yes.
Good point.
Everybody's allowed to make their own decisions. Everybody's been saying that constantly. But when you're the lowest vaccinated team in the league, you're going to have people pop. People are going to pop on the highest vaccinated teams, let alone the lowest. And I don't think it's going to change. I get the distinct vibe that it's not going to change. And you'll hear this in my conversation with Landon Collins. So I don't know that Ioannidis or Samuel tested positive, right? Mm-hmm. This could be contact tracing, whatever. So we were kind of all talking about this yesterday. So you hear that Ioannidis Samuel to the COVID list. And so all of us were like, oh, man. So that was after practice, right? And then the walkthrough's at 8 o'clock at night. So all of us are like, oh, man, what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen tonight? Well, they only have 10 players out there with contact tracing. I made a few calls, talked to people that know exactly what's going on, and they're like, no, dude, everything's done. It's just – and it's three guys. I can't remember the
Chris
third.
Chris Miller.
Chris Miller, thank you. Not our Wizards reporter.
No, a defensive back.
Right. He's like, no, it's just those three people. We've already done all the contact tracing. And I think for some of these players, honestly, it's like, okay, like those guys will be out a couple days, and then they're back, and we're good.
But, like, it's fine today, July 30th or whatever day it is. When we get to September 14th, it's a problem.
Totally. I'm not agreeing with that, the mindset. I'm just saying I think that is the mindset.
Well, when it first popped yesterday, the three of us were together, and I said to the guys that maybe if there is a big contact tracing situation, we didn't know that quite yet, but maybe if during training camp there somebody pops and there's some contact tracing, maybe that's the eye-opener. Maybe that's the wake-up call for some of these guys. Now, obviously, we don't want anyone to get sick, and we don't want anyone to pop in COVID.
Yeah, there's no silver lining to it, but it could be a consequence.
Right. So, but the fact that it was just those three guys means that, like JB said, I don't know that this is consequential one way or the other to the rest of the team.
As a quote-unquote, in huge air quotes, journalist, my thing, too, is I don't like asking you guys about this. It's really none of my business.
I wouldn't have asked today in the one-on-one if they didn't pop yesterday.
New life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's the thing is I almost want to apologize, guys, and say, I'm sorry I have to ask this, but guess what? Because you're the lowest vaccinated team, this is going to still be a topic, and it's going to be a topic every time for every guy that hits that podium.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry.
All.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah, I know. I doubt us pestering them is going to be enough to drive them towards getting the vaccine. It's going to be way more serious than that. But as Ron said, look, just because they handled it so well last year doesn't mean this year. I'm going to edit myself so I can say it. And 2021 might actually be harder because we're all out and about, and it feels like in a lot of ways the pandemic's
and this
over.
Delta thing.
Yeah, yeah. Even though we know it's not over, it feels like it is, and you're around more unvaccinated people. So
and I think that's
– they can't get complacent just because they handle it.
But here's the thing. That's the whole world.
Yeah.
And so we're expecting them to be different.
Yeah.
And I think we need to lower that expectation.
Clearly.
Whether that's fair or not, I think we got to lower that expectation.
To Chris's point, you've covered this team as long as anybody. How often do we just get to talk about football with this team?
Never.
In the last 20 some odd years, we very rarely.
That's pretty good.
How many times have we asked about things that we don't want to talk about?
Jay Gruden said there's a dark cloud hanging over Ashburn. That was 5-6 years ago. 100%.
You said it on the day one or maybe day two pod when we did the whole COVID breakdown. Everything was sunny, blue skies. We were all, happy about the exciting team that we're seeing on the field. The defense is going to be great. We're going to all this stuff that we spent all offseason talking about, and now we back to reality.
Yeah, it's a reminder. Oh, yeah, this is how things work here.
This is my 23rd training camp.
Damn,
Kurt. Always something like, there's like a little stick that you kind of
stick. So have you been here
all 23 with Washington?
For the Dan Snyder era?
Yes. Yes. I was at the owner's meeting in Atlanta
when he got approved.
And it was a, I don't want to say a perp walk, but it was like a huge gaggle around him as he's walking through the hotel, and I think he ran into my camera. So I was like, that was like my first, like, oh, this is a big deal.
That was wow. That was also probably your last interaction with him.
You haven't gotten that close
exactly,
to him since.
Exactly.
I you can't help but notice how publicly involved Tanya has been this week. She's out throwing footballs to fans, and
that was cool.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a huge about face. Hey, did we talk about the Richmond?
The
giveaway yesterday?
No, please do.
So there was an event yesterday, and we sent Weird Greg, who doesn't want to come.
Greg, you want to say hi?
Greg, say hi. Greg, he waved, as always.
But the Richmond mayor, and correct me if I'm wrong, Weird Greg, just with gesture.
Greg, will you give the synopsis, please?
Just tell me if I'm right or wrong. So he went to the event, and they were giving money to a local
park,
whatever. And the mayor of Richmond went out of the way to say how wonderful and engaging this new regime is, as opposed to the previous one where it was more a hostile
adversarial was the word that was used.
Right. So with Tanya throwing footballs and that, I'm like, it's hopefully a different day, at least for part of the franchise.
Well, and I'll say this, just kind of going one step further, I got a box of donuts for the boys today, and I stopped at the Krispy Kreme on Broad Street here in Richmond. And it's a drive-thru, so my plan was a drive-thru, and the line was like 15 deep, so I walked in. And the lady at Krispy Kreme saw my shirt, and she's like, oh, are you – and I'm just going to go verbatim here. She said, oh, are you here with the Redskins? And I was like, yeah, you know, we're in town to cover them. And she's like, it's really cool how they gave the money to the city for that park. And I was like, wow, like this is unsolicited. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure local news ran a lot of that, and then people are getting that word out. But I tell you what, like, nobody was saying that 2 years ago.
No. I think a little bit goes a long way with that stuff.
Go ahead, Pete.
No, I saw something on my note sheet that I thought Mitch would enjoy talking about as his one thing, because I think he's still racking his steel trap brain for
No, I had my one thing. We're
okay,
good.
Okay, sorry, you're flawless.
But I appreciate it.
So go ahead, run through your notes, and then we'll get to one thing.
So
during practice, I was sending Pete some notes for his notes
practice
on camp.
Report. Notes.
Practice report, which
camp
was
series.
Quite thorough today.
Attaboy.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. Besides Terry and the fights, those were the two big storylines. But as Mitch pointed out, at one point, Sadiq Charles was getting a little bit of work at right tackle with the ones. And
just whatever just happened, explain, because Mitch is now pissed.
Is this your one thing?
Yes.
You just said you already had your one thing.
Yes, that.
Okay, you didn't tell me. Well,
I have more to say on it later. Go ahead.
Okay, and then aside from that, because now I'm scared to talk about anything. one weird thing, and this could be something for us to watch, is that when Heinicke was at the podium today, he admitted that he sometimes has issues throwing to his left side, and it's something he's noticed. And
somebody talked about that. Everything goes right.
Yeah, so he's trying to work on that, and there was one throw today where he had John Bates open in the flat and completed it, and as Mitch and I were watching, it was a completion. But the throw was a little bit upfield. It forced Bates to kind of pivot and turn around. And in a game, it would have led him right into the chest of the defender and gotten him crushed. So what went down as a completion wasn't a good throw necessarily. And now I'm going to be paying attention to when Heinicke goes left. Is there a noticeable difference? It was pretty candid and open of him to admit that. And now we can track it.
Might have been dumb to admit a little bit.
I bet the coaches probably weren't thrilled. I mean,
just given the opposing teams,
yeah,
the scouting
Scott Turner
report.
Can't be loving that. But that was one thing that stuck out to me. Not my one thing, but one thing that stuck out to me.
No, not my one thing, but one thing that I am happy about.
Huh.
There's no quarterback controversy.
Yeah. I know.
It so clearly fits. And however, Heinicke's minicamp prowess has not translated to Richmond.
Yeah, and Heinicke was even talking about it. Like, you know, God forbid Fitz gets hurt and I have to go in. Like, all the players all talk about Fitz being the starter. Fitz is the starter.
Is this the quarterback equivalent of having the twisties?
No idea what that means.
That's the gymnastics. Simone Biles has.
I don't know.
The yips.
No, he doesn't have the yips. He's still throwing completions.
The lefties. He's got the lefties.
Yeah.
My one thing that's not one thing we talk. You guys here have heard us talk about Pete Hayner and how loud and how emotive he is and colorful his language is. But what I love about watching him coach is that he's a guy who literally puts his face in it. He was talking with Samus Reyes about how he wanted to get him to blocking, and he kind of took off his hat, turned it around backwards, got down in a blocking stance, and he grabbed the bag. And he's like, "I want you to put your
MFing face in the bag and grabs the bag and just ruffles his face in the middle of it and is just like pointing out to him exactly what he wants him to do. Samus steps up, do it. It was great coaching and kind of what you love to see. And that's how, you know, you get the most out of your guys sometimes is you can yell at them and be as gruff as you want, but you got to show them what to do also.
Should we do our one things that are actually one things now?
Sure. Fire away.
All right. I think Antonio Gandy-Golden was pretty involved today. Not all of it was necessarily good. He had a wide receiver screen at one point where he kind of juggled the catch and then just looked pretty stiff running upfield. I'm not sure I'd ever call too many screens for him. And then he was trying to get open deep, but Heinicke overshot him. But AGG had a good back shoulder grab. He had one over the middle. And it just was important for him, I think, to be relevant today and continue to be relevant going forward, because I know it's rare for organizations to move on from draft picks right away in year two, but I'm not much of an AGG believer. I think he's just slow and a little clunky with his movements and not as consistent with his hands as you'd like to see. But today was good, and the issue now is can he do what he did today, tomorrow, and then on Monday, and then so on and so forth.
I believe they call that stacking days.
That's what they like to say.
And I believe that this staff would be willing to punt on a fourth rounder.
If they cut Sean Davis right away, you know, right, that can kind of trickle down. You know, it's not a second rounder, it's a fourth rounder. But, yeah, AGG, I know, is someone who people still care quite a bit about. So that's what I wanted to share with our listeners.
You got one, Kerwin?
I don't know if it's really one thing. I just think it fits.
It can literally be anything.
I think this fits.
The bar's pretty low.
Fits DGF. Can I say that?
DGAF.
You can say all of it if you want.
DGAF.
Just make Pete edit more.
I'm sure the folks at NBC would not be happy with that. Were you swearing on a podcast?
They wouldn't be pleased with any of us.
They're not pleased with most of us.
I'll join the club then. But it just seems like sometimes like he'll make throws that you're like, oh boy. I saw one today where Terry made an adjustment in the end zone and caught it. He didn't. No one talked back or anything, but I was like, he just chucked that ball like he did not give a rat's. And Terry found it and got it. And I'm like, that's interesting to see in that I hope we're all ready, and you guys have already discussed this, to take the other side of that, which is also there might be a few more picks than you used to, but this is what you bought. Understand this is the car you bought, and understand that this is the ride it's going to give you.
Alex Smith gave a lot of rat's asses, and Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't give many rat's asses.
Captain Checkdown versus Mr. I don't give a rat's.
Yeah.
So mine is Cole Luke. We teased it earlier.
Yeah.
He had a pick today.
Really nice one.
And they signed him in 2019 in Carolina. So that was Ron and Marty Herney and all the boys. All the boys.
The band.
Signed him in 19. The bottom, he was on this roster for 5 games last year. I think he just played specials. But the bottom of this cornerback roster, I think, is the most unsettled position group on the roster.
Is he technically a CB or a safety?
He's listed as a CB.
Okay.
Pretty sure he's a corner.
Yeah, I didn't know. Sorry, Cole.
Like, we definitely know Fuller, Jackson. I'd put St. Juice in there.
Yep.
I think the fourth is probably Jimmy.
I agree.
5 and 6, Danny Johnson, Greg Stroman.
Roberts, who you mentioned a couple days ago.
Yeah, Daryl Roberts. Yeah.
I mean, they're trying Apke there, and today he had a couple of, and we slam him all the time, so it's only fair to say when he plays well.
He's good at training camp.
That's true. Actually, you know what? That's right. I don't need to see Troy Apke thrive in training camp.
Heinicke and Allen were treating Troy Apke like they would in an NFL game. When they found him with one-on-one coverage, it was go deep.
Yeah.
And they threw at him deep many times.
It's so bizarre. He has the speed.
Right.
I still haven't seen it, really. He should have this. Like, in theory, he has the speed, but I've never really watched him run in a straight line and been like, damn, that guy is blinding.
Kelvin Harmon beat him on a deep ball.
Kelvin Harmon, not fast. And coming off a knee injury.
Both true.
But, like, to your point, they're trying Apke there. They have Cole Luke. So, yeah, there's some real estate.
Now, I don't know. You pulling a B-Mitch? Just playing stuff on your phone while we're recording?
It's okay.
Boy, I tell you.
You can't even hear it.
Have some decorum.
You can't even hear
JP,
it.
JP, I want to hear your Cole Luke finale. Stick the landing here.
It's a lot of pressure, Pete.
Boy, this is 2 gymnastics references in one.
I'm just saying, like,
no chess.
There is no certainty at those roster spots. Now, I don't know that they're going to keep 6 corners. Maybe they want to keep 5 safeties, 5 corners, and they might have to. You've got, I mean, Curl, Collins.
Forrest. McCain.
Reeves, they like a lot. McCain.
Everett's around.
Shazer Everett. Is he around? I haven't seen him.
I mean, not right now.
I haven't physically seen him yet.
On the roster, he is.
Certainly on the roster, but he's not here.
Yep.
Like, safety's got its own predicament, but at corner, I'll make a prediction.
Oh, is this bolder than Logan Thomas leading the team in touchdowns?
Stand by.
I think so. I think.
Does it involve bad math?
No.
Okay.
I think either Cole Luke or Daryl Roberts makes this roster. Like, I don't think they're bringing back the Stroman, Danny Johnson band.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think it's going to be Johnson because they think he can do somewhat well on kick return. Stroman, I think, is finito.
Like you said, we haven't seen DeShazer Everett. If I were him, I think I'd be sweating it out a little bit whether he's going to have a roster spot. He's been a super reliable player. He's a star special teamer. He played well when he had to step in on defense as well, but there's a lot of competition back there now.
Mitch, your one thing that I stole. Moving
on, my one thing. You only stole a piece of it. B. Mitch always says that some coaches that have been here in D.C., all they do is coach the starting 22, the starting 11 on each side, and they don't kind of go deeper into the roster. And that's why there's part of the reason there's such a massive drop-off between starters and backups over the years.
There's one coach in particular you like to say that about.
Sure.
Yes.
Gruden.
Yes.
But what I liked seeing today was that they were working in. Eric Flowers got a couple of reps with the first team, what is presumably the first team offensive line. And Sadiq Charles worked in a little bit at right tackle with the presumed first team over Sam Cosmi. But when they came out in the 11-on-11s and they were doing it for real, it was the five that we've been talking about out there. I think it's important for those guys to get experience playing next to the other starters in case there's a situation where they come in. It's also early in camp, and they got to see who's best because those are two positions that are certainly up in the air. And Cosmi hasn't done – we're 3 days in. Cosmi hasn't done anything to secure that position and make you think that you can't go anywhere else. And I think the Flowers-Schweitzer at left guard situation is going to be something that's going to play out over the rest of the camp. Ultimately, Monday is the first day in pads for this football team. I think we'll see a lot more out of the offensive line. We'll be able to tell a lot more when they're actually out there hitting and able to get their hands on the D linemen. So go from there. But I like the fact that they're starting to work in guys that with the starters, get everybody kind of comfortable playing next to each other.
Certainly.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think Wes Martin should rent, not buy.
Wow.
I think Wes is a guy who will play better when he gets pads on and is able to hit and be the road grader that he is. And but there's a lot of guards around the team right now.
Preseason and injuries will dictate a lot too. But like this dude Tyler Larson's on the team.
Yeah.
So you're starting to run out of spots.
Yep.
Right. It's a Keith Ishmael who I don't think is necessarily on the team yet. He's a guy fighting on the back end. He's a draft pick from last season. Wes Martin's a draft pick from two seasons ago.
But not their draft pick.
Not their draft pick, right. But these guys are the young, cheap guys that you need to fill out the back end of a roster. It'll be interesting to see kind of where those chips fall.
Certainly.
We like chips on this podcast.
Chips. Cool Ranch Doritos. I would crush right now.
I had some hot Cheetos last night at late night. It was a heck of a move.
Late night.
I can only imagine. What chips would you eat right now?
I would just do chips and salsa. Really good pico de gallo with some nice salty chips.
The best chips for chips and salsa on the market are the Tostitos Cantina style
of
thin and crispy.
They come in the yellow bag.
See, I don't like
I
don't like the thin and crispy because they break off in the dip sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
You need to have a little support.
You do scoops. The scoops?
Oh, totally. Because
this is 2008.
Dude, you could scoop so much.
Wisconsin. Oh. What are you gonna do?
That might be our
listen. No.
What would heavy... you? What chip would you eat right now?
Scoops, and like,
with like a cheese curd.
Well, no, salsa.
This might be the next thing I bring into training camp to have people try, and then hopefully we get free stuff like I did with Pepperidge Farm.
That was great. Yeah, I'm in on that. All right. Thank you to Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. We sent Biagi some weird pictures last night, fellas.
We posted some Biagi? Weird pictures. Listen,
hold on.
Posted.
Biagi got those from last night?
That's what I
JP's gonna... wife got one?
Oh, yeah, B-Mitch sent Lauren a picture. I think the photo shoot that we posted, imagine the,
right, the
censored ones.
Yeah.
Can we post the one of you in the fountain?
I'll look at it when I get back to the hotel and it's not glaring. I don't think it's appropriate.
I think it's...
But I might do a funny little meme like when the new pod drops and people will see what happens.
Yeah.
Can we also, real quick, I want to ask Kerwin something. Kerwin?
Oh, yes, hello.
You're an adult. You understand how the world works.
Quasi.
Mitch, asked JP yesterday if JP's 5-year-old daughter ever babysits
6-year-old
his
daughter.
2-year-old daughter.
She's not six, dude.
She
She's five.
Six in a week.
Mitch
two
asks,
weeks.
Hey, JP, does your 5-year-old ever babysit your 2-year-old? Is that the stupidest question you've ever heard in your life?
No, they're much stupider.
Well, how's it's pretty stupid.
The thought that a 5-year-old could babysit anything.
I said,
if I have to go into the basement and I'm watching the girls, I'd be like, Shelby, watch your sister, right?
For 17 seconds.
Right. Like, so I'm gonna go downstairs, get a bottle of water, and come back.
Yeah. Does that count in your world or no?
I am six years older.
You said
than,
when Lauren and JP leave. That's what.
Yeah, I am 6 years older than my younger brother, and I babysat him.
At what age?
One, two, when he was one or two.
Yeah,
so
your older brother was there too.
Sure, but he's a year older than me.
So he was 11.
He was. Oh, no, he was 9.
Came with a bad mouth.
I thought you said you were.
I'd say there's a big difference between 9 and 5.
I was like 8. He was 9.
There's no defending it. You're wrong.
Yes, I'm wrong. I didn't say. I didn't argue whether I was right or wrong.
It's odd how
it was a question.
Pete really got fired up about this.
He did. I think he just really appreciated it.
I think it was really funny when someone else says something.
It was definitely. It was definitely. I was definitely wrong.
Yes.
Was there
let's go to Landon.
No?
Can we go to no?
Yeah.
Let's go to Landon for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Here comes Landon Collins.
Thank you.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
It is a big pleasure to get to talk to Mr. Landon Collins. I've been talking about this all week. I don't know that it's a big enough deal. How on earth did you return from an Achilles injury in 9 months?
Hard work and dedication, no days off. I took my times off when I had my vacation times, but literally constant work, constant in the gym and constant rehab. And we stand with my trainers, stand with my doctors. It was day and night. I had my doctor traveling with me, so day and night, honestly.
So you tore the Achilles, it was about Halloween last year. What did the doc tell you your recovery time was going to be? That's a year-long injury.
Yeah, they said 9 to 12 months. I said I could do it. I always get back healthier before that. When I did injure myself, I said I could probably be back before that. And then I'm here now. So thank God I put all that. He's put me in a position to recover fast and took care of me.
How you feel?
I feel awesome. I feel like myself again. I don't feel no lag. I don't feel any bad tension or anything pulling, just out there playing football again.
I'll confess, when I saw you at OTAs and then minicamp, I was like, man, Landon looks good. But I was like, but there's no way he's going to be able to, full go for training camp.
Yeah.
And then, I'm texting with some folks as we were getting down here, and everybody's like, he's good. He's good. He's good. Was any part of this a surprise to you?
No.
You knew it?
I already knew it. I knew it since OTAs. If I had the chance to do a little something there, here and there, I probably could have did it there. But just taking my time, taking it slow, that was the biggest thing. That was the biggest motto in my head. Just take my time because it's gonna come, and recovery is gonna you gotta just stay on top of my recovery. So as long as I did that, I was gonna be right here.
So, how ready are you for the season? What do you think about this defense? We talked to Chase Young earlier this week, and he said, I think we're a top five group, and maybe we can be the best.
Yeah, same. I feel the same way with Chase said. I think we're a top five group. I'm glad to be back on the field with these guys. Communication is key. Playing in the defense and just being on the field. I'm happy. I think our defense is going to be top notch. We're forcing the record with. We're giving our offense problems. Our offense giving us problems going back and forth. And the competition out there is A1. So as long as we got that, the sky's the limit.
Three-time Pro Bowler with the Giants. You had an all-pro season. Signed in Washington in 2019. I believe you had over 120 tackles. Made an immediate impact. I don't think the start to the 2020 season before the injury is what you consider yourself to be.
Nowhere near. I hated that part. I started clicking before I got my energy. Dallas Cowboys game, I was clicking.
You were bawling in that game.
And boom, the injury happened. So that kind of killed me. It hit me in the heart kind of different. But there's a reason for it. God put me in place to be in this position, and I'm taking it as we go.
What happened those first four games, and how do you fix it, change it for this season?
I think the biggest thing was trusting within the defense, new system, getting everybody on board, trying to get everything going smoothly and meshing the right way, getting a fine understanding, and I think now we have a fine understanding of defense. Everybody is trusting one another, and you can see it when those balls are playing the following year, the back end of the season, everything was going boom, 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 boom. Everything was clicking, and we was making plays, was getting off the field. We was even scoring on defense, so it was a pleasure watching that. So I already know it's going to just be another notch with everybody back on the field.
Expectations are going to be you and Cam Curl out there together. What do you think of Cam? He had a heck of a rookie season.
Loved it, man. I was expecting that out of him. He had a lot of guys in front of him, had a lot of knowledge in front of him, especially myself. And he took that opportunity and was blessed and did his thing. And I was proud of him because now it gives us a chance that we can do any either or. I can play in the box, he can play in the box, he can play in the post, I can play in the post. We can switch it up, and not a lot of eyes can be just on me when I'm blitzing. Now Cam can blitz, and we can always disguise different things because now you don't know who's coming. So it's a blessing in the disguise.
Ron talks a lot about that Buffalo nickel role, kind of that the bigger safety up near the line of scrimmage in the nickel package. Is that something, were you doing that at all? Is that something you want to do? Or just kind of how you can move around all the chess pieces?
I think the most DBs on the field, the better. Honestly, no offense to our linebackers, I love them. But we play better, we play great. And we know the defense, and we just going to move around.
I mean, I look at it, in the nickel package, Collins, Curl, Fuller, Jackson, St. Juice. Or maybe it's another safety out there. Maybe it's Reeves or McCain or something. And you want to just get your best players with speed on the field. And then you get the rookie Davis has some speed. All of a sudden, there's guys flying all over the place. Is that kind of the vision you think is coming together?
I think so. The more we play, the more we move people around. We get people in different positions. Cam playing nickel, me playing down there, Bobby playing the free safety, Juice playing the corner. You're putting Kendall at nickel. There's a lot of moving parts, so everybody's just getting a feel for what we can do. And we got different teams this year. So you got Kansas City with speed, so maybe you don't want a safety on the nickel. You want to have Kendall on the nickel, you know? So yeah. different techniques of what we want to do. And having those puzzle pieces, and inserting them at any time we want is a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yeah, certainly. There's this weird dichotomy down here, right? Because fans are back, and everybody's so excited that football's coming back, and there's going to be packed stands at games. Yet I'm wearing a mask. You're wearing a mask. We saw Matt Ioannidis, Curtis Samuel go on the COVID list. How are you handling a semi-return to normalcy mixed with what the NFL is doing, really trying to push back vaccinations?
Just taking it as it is. Got my personal reasons on that, but from there I just stick to football. I'm not letting this be a distraction to us as a team, as a player, as a leader. I'm showing to my guys, bro, this is my personal reasoning. Don't worry about me. I'm gonna take whatever faults I get, but I'm telling you now, I'm gonna protect myself because I want to protect you guys, and I know y'all gonna do the same, vice versa. I'm gonna keep it simple as that.
I think it's, you know, everybody has said more or less the same thing, that it's a personal decision whether you get it or you don't. Does it change at all when Ron says how frustrated he's getting and that he's immune deficient from his cancer battle?
It hurts to hear sometimes, but at the same time, everybody got their personal reasons behind it, you know. He has his, guys have theirs, I have mine, and it just kind of goes that way.
Will that change if we get to the season and teams actually have to forfeit? Maybe not even, like, you, as a member of the National Football League, like, I just wonder how different it gets if teams are actually forfeiting.
I doubt it's going to be forfeited with the vaccine, because we get tested every day, especially non-vaccinated guys. So we're going to catch it beforehand, and then as soon as you get caught, you like look mad and Carol, they're gone already. So they're getting them out of there just to protect everybody else on the team, and especially non-vaccinated guys. So we don't have to forfeit it. And then like we got other guys that are going to back us up. I trust Reeves. I trust Bobby. I trust DeSeja Everett. I trust Chris Harris. I trust all those guys that's going to, if anything ever happens to me, for the guy that it doesn't, they're going to back me up and they're going to step in that position and do their job.
Opening week, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen. When do you start grinding that tape? When do you start locking in for the Chargers?
I've been locking in since we had them on our chart. It's a new team, it's a different conference, so it's a new offense. So you just want to pick and choose where they want, like, the ball at, and find different tendencies. And I just kind of stay on top of that film all the time.
What are your goals for this season?
My goal is to be the best leader I can be, first of all, for most. For my individual goals is just be an all-out straight player. I want that 2016 player back, 2016, 2017 player back, and I got that because I got a D-line that's in front of me that's ready to eat and make plays, and it's going to be stress-free.
So, Landon, new quarterback here for the Washington football team, Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's a guy you faced before. Now he's your quarterback. What do you think of Fitz the player and Fitz the person?
Night and day. Fitz the player is assertive, on the details, controlling the ball, not putting himself in bad situations, but also going to take shots, and that's what we need. Now, Fitz the person off the football field, relax, look like he's always on the beach, just relaxing and smiling. So it's awesome to have a guy that's going to be cool and calm and collected all the time. So it's great.
You've had the beard going for a while now, but you got to respect Fitz's beard game.
Oh, I respect it all the time. I can't do the long beard. My girl had me cut it off. Can't do it.
She won't let you in the house?
Nah, won't let me in the house.
I bet. All right, thank you very much.
You got it.
Because I'm all of 5'6", maybe on my tiptoes.
Yeah, but you're jacked, just for people
that. You're 5'6", both ways.
Whatever.
Side to side and top.
Anyway,
just a square.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.